Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be talking about Time Magazine recognizing Elon Musk as their 2021 Person of the Year. We also have product updates on, I think, about half of Tesla's products, news on China production for November, a little bit of news on Tesla Energy, Tesla merchandise, and a couple other things as well. And we will start off here with the stock. Obviously, a tougher start to the week today, with Tesla finishing down around 5% for the day to $966.41. So this is the first time that Tesla has closed below $1,000 per share since breaking $1,000 per share back in October after the Q3 earnings report. Because of that, I thought it would be worth spending a couple of seconds here on the fundamentals. I think that's always helpful grounding when the share price is falling like it has been. So right now, Tesla's price to earnings trailing 12-month basis is 315x. And of course, that multiple has declined quarter after quarter throughout this year as Tesla's earnings grow from a really small base. So that is to be expected, and that is going to continue. But at a certain point, the multiple is going to get low enough where it almost just kind of has to act as price support, which historically Tesla has not really traded on its current or short-term fundamentals. It's been more about the long-term vision, and that component will remain for sure, but I think the fundamentals are going to start sneaking up on people really quickly here too. So just as a quick example of this, we're not going to spend a ton of time going into a forecast, but last quarter Tesla delivered 241,000 vehicles. They earned $1.44 on a GAAP basis per share. That's how price-to-earnings ratios are calculated. Anyway, if you annualize that $1.44 over four quarters, that's $5.76 earnings per share per year, and the price to earnings on that would only be 167 times. However, Tesla is, of course, growing deliveries every single quarter, so if we look ahead to 2022, Tesla's likely to deliver somewhere around 350,000 vehicles per quarter, just a ballpark. That's about 50% above where they were at in Q3. The point here is not to get that number exact, just to demonstrate the direction. If you then also assume earnings per share grows by 50% from that Q3 level, you could easily make cases for somewhere below or above that, below being the ramp of the new factories, above being less one-time items like Bitcoin or CEO compensation. Remember, Q3 had $190 million of CEO compensation from that 2018 performance award. That only has $310 million remaining. So unless there was a new compensation plan, and even then, it's pretty much impossible for it to stay at that level next year on a quarterly basis. Anyway, how all that washes out isn't necessarily super important here. Again, we're just talking directionally. If earnings per share increase 50%, the forward PE for Tesla right now would be 110x. Now, if that still sounds high, in my view, it's definitely not, because Tesla continues to have a very clear path to growing earnings per share at 50% or more, basically just selling cars. And we haven't really talked at all about the impact of greater recognition of full self-driving. So how low can that forward price to earnings ratio get? That's what we're going to figure out, but that's why I'm talking about this, is because at a certain point, the earnings and the earnings roadmap is just not going to let the stock go any lower, pending, obviously, a major recession, which, of course, would hurt the multiples of all stocks. So anyway, I think it's just a good reminder to consider some of those things when the stock drops, 25% in 6 weeks or whatever it's been. It's also probably worth noting that this weekend, Elon replied to a tweet which said, quote, "The most underestimated thing about Tesla is the level at which Tesla is being underestimated." End quote. Elon replying, saying they have no idea. They don't, but I like to think that we do. All right, so let's get into the news. Some nice recognition for Elon today, being named the Time Magazine Person of the Year for 2021. Walter Isaacson, who we recently learned is writing a biography on Elon Musk, penned a nice short little piece on Elon for this feature. And Time did a short interview of Elon as well. Not a lot of Tesla-specific stuff there. Elon was asked kind of about competition. He reiterated that he wants all competition in terms of EVs to do well, so that electric vehicle adoption can grow and overtake internal combustion engine vehicles, but he also expressed his confidence, unsurprisingly, in Tesla's future. As for the article itself, I think Isaacson makes some really nice pointed comments here that have to make Elon feel a little bit more well understood than some of the mainstream media narrative that seems to have been building now for quite some time and maybe escalating a bit over the last couple of years. But Isaacson kicks it off with some nice recognition, saying, quote, "Through his intense focus on driving every problem down to the level of basic physics, he has already earned himself a spot in the pantheon of history's great innovators," end quote. He notes that a lot of that innovation hasn't just been digital, but rather physical as well. And then just a few lines into the piece, he writes, quote, "Tesla, no, Mr. President, not General Motors, is the primary driving force transporting the world into the age of electric cars and self-driving ones," end quote. Nice to see that explicitly called out in such a public and presumably relatively well-respected way. Couple other lines in here I want to highlight. The first I had to kind of chuckle at as I was reading through. Isaacson writes, quote, "Musk's input-output mechanisms can be unnerving. He displays a manic wackiness and semi-calculated craziness that occasionally skitters, like a too early beta version of full self-driving, across the line between willingness and weirdness, end quote. All right, well played on that one. I think that is fair enough. And then Isaacson closes the piece by saying, quote, but more than most other great innovators, Musk is driven by a larger sense of mission. He has a fierce urge to make life on this planet sustainable, turn humans into a spacefaring species, and assure that artificial intelligence will be beneficial rather than malign us to mortals. These goals are audacious, and he may fail, but at the moment, he has become the most important single individual in designing and deploying the innovations that will bring us a few steps closer to each of these aspirations, end quote. So congratulations to Elon Musk for this well-placed, very well-deserved recognition. Oh, and Ford CEO Jim Farley also had some kind words to say, retweeting this Time article and saying, Elon says our intent with Tesla was always that we would serve as an example to the car industry. Mission accomplished. Congrats, Elon Musk. Strange world we live in where Tesla gets more recognition from the CEO of their rival versus the president of their country. Nonetheless, good for Ford. In addition to this short interview with Time magazine, Dan Carlin of Hardcore History did post a longer form conversation with Elon, basically a Hardcore History addendum episode. Unfortunately, I didn't have time to listen to that yet today, but Carlin describes it as a conversation to discuss the underappreciated role of science and engineering in war. So from what I've read, aside from, you know, conceptually, strategically, things that relate to all the things that Elon is doing, I don't think there's any direct Tesla discussion beyond that. I'm still eager to listen to that, though, so I'll put the link to that, as well as the Time interview, down in the description today. All right, next up here, we do have the November production numbers for Tesla in China. We don't have to spend a ton of time on this because they are pretty close to the assumptions we made previously. November came in at about 56,900 vehicles produced, so it's about 1,400 above the scenario we had last walked through. So a bit better, but still definitely not up to those October production rates, considering that downtime. A lot of people, after these November numbers have come out, just assuming that there was no downtime in October. I still do not believe that is the case. Maybe it was a little bit less impactful than what we've been assuming, but I would be very careful just saying that is wrong based on what we've seen now in November. Remember, I have seen reports of supply chain constraints on November production. Why does that matter? Well, if the supply chain challenges can get ironed out, then Tesla should theoretically be able to return to that higher peak rate that we think that we saw in October versus potentially having to add more capacity to hit numbers like that. So that distinction is important, but at the same time, I'm also not just going to assume that December returns to that October peak. I think it's safer to go with November's rate. If those rates hold for December, that should put monthly production at about 59,000 vehicles, and that would put them at 171,000 out of Shanghai for the quarter. If Fremont ends up being 115,000 or so, I think that 285,000 is still right in that same ballpark we last talked about, though still a fair amount of uncertainty on that Fremont number. And by the way, there were some power outage issues reported in Fremont today, so might have lost half a day or a day of production from those problems today. All right, next here we've got some product updates. First on the Tesla Semi, Sawyer Merritt this weekend tweeting that source has told him that the Tesla Semi is now in limited production at Giga Nevada. If accurate, this is probably better described as test production. Remember last time we talked about the Semi was because Pepsi's CEO said that they expected some Semi deliveries in Q4. Elon replied to a note on that on Twitter saying, quote, please don't read too much into this. As mentioned publicly, Tesla is constrained by chip supply short-term and cell supply long-term, not possible to produce additional vehicles in volume until both constraints are addressed, end quote. So no real confirmation there from Elon, but certainly no denial either, and seemed to be saying, you know, hey, when this does happen, don't read too much into it. We now appear to possibly be at that point, and I think that advice is sound, but nonetheless still exciting. In addition to the Semi, we've also got a very small update here on the Roadster. It looks like Tesla has basically removed the acknowledgement of Founders Edition Roadsters and removed the ability to order a Founders Edition Roadster from the Roadster page on Tesla.com. In the specs area, they used to list, as we can see on the Wayback Machine here, the Founder Series price of $250,000 and 1,000 reservations available for that same price. So maybe Tesla has hit it. Maybe they just wanted to stop offering those reservations. They've also removed the base price of $200,000 from the spec sheet here. So I don't know, maybe a price increase on the way for the Roadster. We'll have to wait and see, but obviously we're still a ways out from that. I think Elon most recently said, hopefully 2023 for the Roadster. Elon also clarified some things on Twitter about the Cybertruck prototype that we had talked about on Friday. He did say that there will still be a few tweaks before production, and he also added another comment on the wiper, saying that it is not the production wiper. Next is some news on the Model 3 and Y. This is from Tesla North, but per Automotive News. Looks like they have registration data in the United States for January through October, and they have the Model Y at 134,000 vehicles registered, Model 3 at 112,000 vehicles registered, putting both of them in the top two slots for premium vehicles overall, EV or ICE, year-to-date in the US. The Lexus RX came in third with 98,000 registrations. Tesla continues to dominate in every class that they sell a product in, and yet for some reason, some people can't see that continuing in the future. Next, we've just got a couple of quick FSD beta updates. So beta 10.6.1 did start rolling out a couple days back. I think just a couple of bug fixes in that one. I have heard that hopefully that fixes the issue that I had when I got locked out from weather. Probably won't get an opportunity to try that again, but if it arises, I'll see. And then Elon did tweet on Friday that 10.7 next week is great, and it should arguably be called 11. So next week would now be this week. So hopefully that'll stay on track, and we'll get a test out 10.7 at some point later this week. All right, wrapping up with the product stuff, Tesla has continued to add more and more new merchandise to the Tesla shop. I think the one a lot of people are excited about for today is the Don't Mess With Tesla belt buckle that we saw Tesla show off a little bit at the shareholder meeting from Giga Texas. So that is now added to the shop. It is $150, but it is there. Tesla has also added different color faceplates for the Tesla wall charger, so if you feel so inclined, you can now color match that to your vehicle. And if you haven't seen it over the last couple of weeks, they've been adding a few more apparel items as well. Next here, we've got a bit of an update on Tesla Energy. This is from Tesmanian per the Paraguayan news agency, which reports that members of the Itaipu Board of Directors, which is one of the largest dams in the world, as well as the Paraguayan National Electricity Authority, have been speaking with Tesla and visiting a number of Tesla facilities to study energy storage solutions. So obviously nothing concrete here, but this could eventually lead to a pretty significant project for Tesla. The Itaipu Dam, which sits between Paraguay and Brazil, has peak power generation capacity of 14 gigawatts. So hopefully more to come on that story in the future. Last thing for today then, just continued pushback from Canada on the current structure of the proposed US federal EV tax credit. Canada's Deputy Prime Minister, as well as the Minister for Free Land and International Trade, have sent a letter to US senators threatening to suspend parts of the USMCA trade agreement and impose tariffs on American goods unless this structure is changed. They write, quote, "We are deeply concerned that certain provisions of the electric vehicle tax credits as proposed in the Build Back Better Act violate the United States' obligations under the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement," end quote. Separately, Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has voiced his disagreement, saying that, quote, "We are working very hard with the United States on getting them to understand that this proposed EV rebate for American-built cars is not good, obviously, for Canada, but also not good for the United States. There are a number of solutions we put forward. One of them would be to align our incentives in Canada to the United States to make sure that there is no slippage, no unfair advantage on one side or the other. We are happy to do that," end quote. I think part of that alignment, though, would obviously also include that there is not a benefit to the US versus Canada production. So from my perspective, there continues to seem to be a lot of pushback from nations, from states, on the union portion of this credit. So we'll see where things go. That is it for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, December 14th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.